this retreat functions and how the amrutatovana functions, which, as you know, is on dana. So up until about a year ago, or 6 months ago, don't know when the change was, but at some point in the last year, until then, the tovana was functioning on the basis, basically, that whatever the costs of the retreat were, that was divided up amongst the number of participants, and people paid the basic costs of the retreat. Nobody makes any money out of it, and there's the sense of the service and the support of the volunteers to make the retreats happen, and people pay those costs. But discussing among the committee, or the people involved in running the amuta, they decided some months ago to switch to making the whole system run on dana. And incidentally, until that point, this desert retreat here at Adama every year was the flagship dana retreat of the tovana.
Huh? Exactly 1 year ago.
Yeah, but it's been for 4 or 5 years, 4 years I think now, at this time of year, always on dana. This one retreat was always on dana, and there's some people were very keen for things to run on dana, and this retreat was the one of the year that did that. And then there was the changeover for everything to work on dana, and the motivation really behind that, I'm about to explain. And the motivation behind that is the Buddha's teachings on dana. Dana means generosity. And the Buddha said, the first thing we have to practice is goodness and generosity. And he said, unless one is able to practice goodness and generosity, one's unable to really work with the mind. But goodness and generosity are the foundations for samatha vipassana, or samadhipanya, for meditative concentration and wisdom. Because if there isn't that movement of the being towards giving, towards opening, towards kindness, if the movement is one of keeping, holding, tightening, when we try to engage in meditation, the heart won't open. There's too much tightness in there. And that's why at the beginning of the retreat, when I spoke about the precepts, no? These five trainings, that's that part of goodness and generosity. If we're not able to act in a way that's fundamentally kind in terms of the precepts, then the heart feels that, and there's a closing down. And that's why really any kind of spiritual practice or meditation undertaking is kind of meaningless if it's not supported by this basic goodness and non-harming. This respect for life, respect for others, respect for honesty and integrity, respect for consciousness. And so in line with these teachings of goodness, the precepts really underlie every meditation retreat that's taught, and certainly underlied not just retreat, but practice in general. And in the same way, the teachings on generosity as an offering, a very beautiful and kind of authentic way to underlie these kind of events being offered and these retreats happening. And so there's no fixed charge for the retreat to happen, and what that means is it's an invitation to practice generosity. And sometimes people say, oh, that's a nice idea, so how much should I give? And then we kind of explain, well, there isn't a right amount because it's about practicing generosity. Oh, I see. But how much, really, roughly? And it's really, it's something that in the East is very, very kind of in the culture. But it's something that's quite unusual in the West, where we're much more used to putting a kind of fixed value on things. And we're used to things being a commercial transaction in some ways. And so this is kind of running against the stream of that by asking us to practice generosity. And of course, what generosity looks like is different for different people. But I think it's rather beautiful that there is that opportunity for generosity. If there's a fixed charge, it might be really a struggle for some people to manage that. And for others it might be able to be without any thought at all. And so the movement of the heart isn't really involved. But in this form, we have the opportunity to practice generosity. And I think there's three kind of aspects to that practice. And that's really to ask oneself, how much do I appreciate what's being offered here? How much do I want to support that in continuing to happen? And then of course, what's realistic for me? And that does require some reflection and some careful attention. But it also has the possibility for this kind of beautiful outflow of goodness and kindness. Because in supporting the amuta, which is then is supported completely by on dana, on the generosity of people that come and sit retreats, it means that your expressions of generosity are supporting the ongoing work of the amuta and supporting retreats in a whole variety of places all over Israel, with a whole variety of teachers from Israel and the rest of the world, practicing Dharma together, and practicing Dharma in this rather open and experimental way, which I think is very beautiful. Maybe not all the retreats are quite so experimental as this one. Some of the others, they don't ask you to sit outside all day in the hot sun with a pile of stones for a meditation cushion. But nevertheless, there's a very open-handed approach to Dharma teachings and Dharma practice in this tradition that encourages a kind of inner freedom to seek wisdom wherever we find it. There's really no encouragement here to stick closely and narrowly with one thing. Nobody has a monopoly on the truth. And it's important that we feel free to look for that truth, to look for what's useful wherever we find it. It doesn't have to come in a Vipassana packaging. It doesn't have to come in a Buddhist packaging. It doesn't have to come in a religious packaging at all. But to really look out, to seek out the company of people expressing kindness, expressing wisdom, expressing clarity. It's one of the main recommendations of the Buddha, was to seek the company of the wise. And so all these kind of threads are involved in the wish of the Tovana, of the Amuta, to make these retreats run in this way. And your generosity is a crucial factor in that being able to happen. So this is the opportunity to practice in that way. To look into your hearts, and of course look into your pockets as well. And to practice in that way. And so when we finish here, there's some tea, chai even, I think, no? And there's some tables with nice cloth and attractively presented, and the donation tin, the dana tin, is there for the amuta. And I think that some information is written on the tin about what to put on checks and that kind of thing. And also Tomer will be there, no? So if you have questions or that kind of thing about it, then Tomer is there and the tin is there. And next to it, there's another tin. And the other tin is the teacher's begging bowl. So, in the same way that the amuta runs on generosity, there's this, again from the teachings of the Buddha, this idea that that which is freely received, I'm talking about teachings, that which is freely received should be freely given. And again, it's that sense of an open-handed approach to sharing Dharma. And for me, it's really a great delight and a real privilege to be able to be here, to practice with you in this way, to share the fruits of my own passion for Dharma practice. And that, in a way, something so precious has to be offered in that way. And would be something strange or uncomfortable about having a commercial sort of value on that. And so the opportunity there to express generosity, to express appreciation for the teachings, and certainly in my own life, the pretty much full-time Dharma service throughout the year, both in teaching at the center where I live in France and in traveling here and there. And the only way that's supported is through the generosity of people coming on retreats. And so it very much, it's the main factor that enables me to keep doing this kind of work and to practice with people here and elsewhere. And I'm very, very grateful for the generosity people express, and it's a very real and important contribution for me to be able to maintain my life in this way and in that kind of small expression of Dharma service. And just with that, of course, my gratitude, again, we'll speak a little bit more tomorrow at the closing, but just to acknowledge and thank Galit for her wisdom and experience in Dharma and being here in the same support as that, and that same expression of her generosity in taking time out to meet with you and lead groups and just support the whole process of our practicing here together. So there's a tin for the teachers then, next to the Tovana tin. And if you want to write checks for the teacher donation, you can just write them to the same address. I don't have an Israeli bank account. You can write them just to the Tovana, to the Amuta still, whatever name, but please put them then in the teacher's tin. And then we'll kind of arrange the money afterwards, but we know in that way which money is for what. So is that clear? Does anybody have any questions about any of that? Yes. Right, yeah, sure. So, I forgot to mention, but my travel costs to get here from France are part of the organisational costs of the retreat. No? So I don't receive anything from the Tovana for being here, but it doesn't cost me money to actually get here. That part of my travel is included in the expenses of running the retreat, along with the food, along with paying the Adama to use this space, along with the transport and all the other costs that are involved, and along, of course, with the general overheads of the Amuta, which means phone bills and faxing and posting stuff out and employing Eran, who's the one person who works full-time to support the activities of the association. Okay.
Just say I also have your valuables.
So, by happy coincidence, now is just the time to collect the valuables from Tomer. No? You'll have them with you. And you'll be sitting where? Oh,